Well, Father, in the name of Jesus, Lord, we just ask your blessings upon this conference call, this fellowship of believers, Lord. And we ask, Father, that you anoint each one of us to speak those things that you want us to speak, to ask for prayer if we need it, and to do those things pleasing to you, Lord. And we just praise you for it. We thank you, Lord, that tonight's going to be blessed in the name of Jesus. Thank you, Lord. All right, first thing on the agenda tonight, has anybody got any prayer requests or need prayer? Let me read just something here I ran across just a while ago. In Isaiah 45, verse 11, thus saith the Lord, the Holy One of Israel and his Maker, ask me of the things that are to come concerning my sons and concerning the work of my hands. Command ye me. That's the Lord talking there. I have made the earth and created man upon it. I, even my hands, have stretched out the heavens, and all their hosts have I commanded. I have raised him up in righteousness, and I will make straight all his ways. He shall build my city, and he shall let my exiles go free, not for price nor reward, saith the Lord of hosts. Praise be to God. He says to command ye me. So maybe we need to do that. Ask the Lord. Anybody got any prayer requests? Well, Lord, I do. I'm going to pray a little bit here. Father, in the name of Jesus, Lord, I just ask and I pray that you give us discernment, that you give us knowledge, supernatural knowledge of the things that are going to come and to happen in our lives, the great things that are going to happen in our lives, Lord. The next great thing, the next great disaster, Lord, would be awesome to learn straight from your lips, Lord. And we thank you for it, Lord. We can ascertain and we can surmise and we can hypothesize. Anyway, Lord, you know what I'm talking about. we can do all kinds of thinking about what's going to happen, but Lord, you know exactly what's going to happen. Sometimes we get ahead of ourselves. We get ahead of you, Lord. And I ask, Lord, that you just kind of just show us what's going to happen next. I kind of believe it's all going to happen all at one time, but what do I know? You know, I kind of think, Lord, that we're going to have a financial collapse. I believe that we may have an earthquake right at the same time. And I also believe, Lord, that your anointing of your man-child will happen during that period of time too, Lord. And it'd be so awesome, Lord, if you would just show us through dreams and visions, words of knowledge, any way you want to, Lord, about these things that are coming upon us, Lord. And I ask, Lord, that you prepare our hearts to understand the gravity of the situation that this earth is in the next few days, Lord. I just praise you, Father, for the work you're doing in each one of our hearts to prepare us, Lord, for the time ahead. And I thank you, Lord, that you're maturing each one of us into that bride, into that Son of God that you want us to be, Lord. And I thank you for it in Jesus' name. Y'all, help me believe that, will you? Let's hook our faith up together and ask the Lord to show us these things. What do you think?
Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Lord.
Hey, Michael, just pray for me that I will take Joel seriously, Joel 2.
Amen. Well, that's what we've been doing here, brother, praying and fasting for the brother. Thank you, Lord. Well, Father, we just ask that for everybody, Lord, that we would take what you've told us here. You've been telling us for weeks now, possibly months now, to pray and fast for the brothers, to pray and fast for these attacks against the brothers. And Lord, we've seen miracles. We've seen people that have been bound up in faction, bound up in unbelief, bound up in double-mindedness, Lord, come completely free in rejection and all of those things, Lord. We've seen your mighty hand upon their lives and how you set them free, and that the joy of the Lord as permeating their whole body now, and their whole being, their whole spiritual being, Lord, and we just praise you for that, and we thank you for it, Lord. Place it in our hearts to be praying and fasting for each other, those that we know are struggling, Lord, and those that are chosen of you, Lord, to pray and to fast for those and the protection that you would provide for us, Lord. You don't do anything without our prayers, Lord, and I praise you for that, and I thank you, Lord, that we're going to do that. We're going to be intercessors for your people, Lord, and I praise you in the name of Jesus for doing that. Amen. All right, anybody else? I guess that's what I just took it upon myself, Malcolm, if that's what you're talking about. Are you talking about the anointing?
Oh, the whole shebang. I think people just want to be, I think, you know, everybody wants to be just full blast in, you know, with the Lord and whatever he's doing, and not be recipients of, you know, his wrath over are not preparing ourselves when we've had ample opportunity for quite some time.
Amen. Well, I can tell you what the Lord has been telling us. He's been telling us to pray and fast for the brethren, pray and fast against the wicked that have come against the brothers. And we've been doing that, and we're seeing the results of that, and the Lord is good. He is so awesome. We had a wonderful time last night praying on our Monday night prayer meeting, and saw people just get set completely free from those things that had bound them up. And I'll tell you, it's just awesome to watch. All right, anybody else?
Yeah, Michael.
Yeah, Marlon, how you doing, brother?
Doing good. I'd just like everybody to agree with me in prayer. We have a friend that had a stroke. I don't know if you remember last spring. He was about to sign off that night, and we prayed for him because his wife called and said that he was on the emergency on the way to the hospital. And he's went home since, but we got a call this afternoon. We weren't here, but we got a message, and she said they had taken him back to the emergency room. So don't know what happened, but I'd just like to pray and have everybody agree with me. Father, we just lift up Dick to you. We don't know exactly what went wrong today, but we just lift him up to the throne of grace, Lord. We ask that you give him the grace to stand on what your word says and believe what the promises say, and not to listen to what the doctors say and what his family tells him, but just to hold fast to your word. And be with his family. Help them to speak your word and not to speak the curse like they so often do. And just give the family your strength and give Dick your strength. And we're just believing for healing for Dick. And we just give you all the praise and glory in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. I believe with you, Marlon. I believe everybody in here does. Thank you, Lord. Anyone else?
If it's all right, I'd like to ask for a prayer request.
Okay.
About 2 weeks ago, one of the people in the village, the apartment complex for the handicapped, told me that he had no one to help him get ready for bed and to take care of bodily needs, and everything was crashing in on him. And he said nobody would help him. The Christians aren't helping him. No one's helping him. And I felt the Lord wanted me to help him. He believes in evolution and that Jesus started it. So our God started it, and Jesus is a part of it. But he doesn't really believe in God in the Bible. So I don't know what to do. I've been spending my nights cleaning him up and getting him ready for bed. And on the weekends, I take care of him in the morning also. And it's almost as bad. Well, it's getting to wear on me. And especially with him talking, I don't know, I'm praying that God will heal him. He has cancer. And he has one of those colon deals with a fecal matter goes through into the bag. If he was healed, it would make a great difference to me and to him. And maybe he could see that God is more than just evolution. I don't know how to help him other than to continue trying. And I'm weak, I guess. I haven't been able to do it as well as I ought.
Well, I tell you what, wait, I tell you what. Why don't we pray that the Lord would save him?
Yes,
and then he would listen to you as to what you'd have to say about God's healing power and the promises in the Word of God. Let's do that. What do you think?
That's good.
Okay. Well, Father, in the name of Jesus, Lord, what's this guy's name, Wade?
Alton. I don't know his last name, but his first name is Alton. He doesn't talk that much.
Okay.
He talks, but he doesn't talk too much.
All right, Father, we just ask, first of all, that you place it in Wade's heart to pray for him constantly and continually in the Spirit while he's in there with him, that your Holy Spirit would convict him, would grant repentance to him, and draw him to God. And, Lord, we just thank you that Alton, that you're doing a work in his heart because of the prayers of Wade and because our faith is hooked up with his. And we thank you, Lord, that Alton is saved. We praise you, Father, for drawing Alton near to you and granting repentance to him in Jesus' name. And, Father, open up his spiritual eyes to see it at the same time and baptize him in the Holy Spirit. That would be awesome. And, Father, we thank you that Wade is now going to continue this prayer at all times, Lord, that he'll be praying in the Spirit all the time he's in there. And those demons will have to leave. This Alton guy, in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord.
Jesus.
Amen, Wade.
Thank you. God bless.
All right. Thank you, Lord.
Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Amen.
Yes,
thank you, Father.
Lord. Okay. Anyone else? Okay. What about testimonies and praise reports? Does anybody have a testimony or a praise report?
Hey, Michael, I got a testimony.
Okay, Tim.
Well, I'll kind of give you a... kind of give you all an update on as far as what transpired up in Ohio. And I think I filled in a little bit on Tuesday night, but we got up there and had to, the Lord pretty much showed me that I needed to go up there and I needed to resist not him that is evil, but whosoever smite thee on the right cheek, turn to him the other also. Love your enemies and pray for them that persecute you. Vengeance belongs to me. I will recompense, saith the Lord. And, I was, to go up there and pretty much, love my brother, love my neighbor, turn the other cheek, and deal with the situation. And part of my trial was, last time I went up there, I got into unforgiveness and judgment, and when I got back to Tennessee, I got spanked, and I didn't want to go through that again, but the Lord wanted me to go through that again, and so I went up there, and I let him know that, I needed him out by, last weekend, or this past weekend, and I let him know that I had a meeting scheduled for Saturday afternoon with a prospective buyer, and the place had to be cleaned out and cleaned up and that. And during the whole week, he would just show up late in the morning, and he might show up for an hour, and then he would leave and not come back. And he did this several times, and he ended up a lot of his furniture, he moved out of the house and moved into there was like a back shop area. And when I got the call, from the realtor that this guy was, was serious and, he wanted to take one more walk through, I let him know that everything had to be out by, Saturday morning. And basically, the same thing happened. And I shared the testimony about the little kids we met and the mom. Well, it turns out the next day the mom doesn't show up, and I've got nobody to clean the house. We're kind of overwhelmed with everything that we're doing. And it was awesome. Stan called me, you know, after the conference call, and he was willing to drive from Fort Wayne and come give us a hand, and it was awesome. Like, you know, he hung out for 2 days and just helped us, and I went up there with, you know, Brandy and Luke, and you know, we just kind of worked on to the Lord. You know, we were just sleeping on air mattresses, and you know, we were working till 10, 11 o'clock at night, and just going, you know, going and crashing, and then getting up the next morning and just getting some coffee and, you know, getting back at it. And, you know, we did that for like 6 days straight. And we ended up, I mean, we took like, I mean, it was like 6 dump truck loads of garbage out of there. It was just unbelievable. And we were just kind of coming down to the wire, and we knew we didn't have time. We needed to get somebody, some help in there. And I kept calling, you know, maid services and house cleaners and this and that, and nobody would return my call. And then if they did return my call, they wouldn't show up. And so we were coming really down to the wire, and I ended up, I found a company that was, that did, you know, trash hauling. It was called Junk Be Gone. And I called them up. The guy sounded really, you know, really straight, and they showed up, and it was like 5 or 6, they were like black guys out of the hood. You know, they looked like they were, I mean, they looked rough, and they showed up, and, you know, it was like, okay. But they turned out to be the nicest guys. I mean, it was just, we just had a great time. I mean, they just had great hearts, and they were, you know, they were good workers and that. And, you know, when they got done hauling the trash, I asked the guy, I says, hey, I can't find anybody to clean this place. And he said, we'll do it for you. And I said, really, can you do that stuff? And he says, yeah. He said, you know, that's what we do. We clean out places and just try to make them presentable. So he said, we'll come back this afternoon, which was Friday afternoon, and they never showed up. And so we prayed Friday night, and we said, Lord, just, you know, just put a conviction on his heart to, you know, to call me in the morning and to come out, because we got no other choices, and nobody else was, you know, returning our call or showing up or anything like that. And this guy called me the next morning, and it was awesome. He shows up, you know, with his guys, and they got the rest of the trash out, took one more load of trash out, you know, they got to work, and, you know, it was kind of funny, because one guy is cleaning the refrigerator, and I said, hey, man, have you cleaned anything worse than that? And he's like, oh, yeah. He said, I used to be a nurse and clean people, you know. But it was, you know, they just really helped out. It was just an answer to prayer, and you know, we were able to, you know, really, you know, pull things together. And I mean, just, you know, Stan and, you know, Brandy and everybody just really, you know, just really busted it out, you know, so we could get the thing pulled together. And on the Friday, I went to my tenant, and I was like, I said, you know, he was getting, you know, came with a trailer to get some furniture out of there. And I told him, I said, you know, whatever's left, we need to haul out of here. So you need to, you know, show them what you want, what you don't want, and because we got to get all this trash out of here. And so he's loading up some furniture, and I went up to him. I says, hey, man, can you, you know, he's got like 5 kids. I says, hey, I need some help pulling the staples out from the carpeting so we can mop the floors. Because there was just thousands of staples that they stapled the padding down with, and I wanted to give the floor a good mopping because we were trying to get rid of the urine smell in the house. And I asked him, I said, hey, man, can you just send your kids over for a little bit? And I said, I was even willing to pay them so we can get these staples out so we can mop up this floor. And he's like, yeah, sure, no problem. And it was 5 minutes, 10 minutes later, he said, hey, Tim, I just heard from the Lord, and he told me that, you know, I'm evicted as of 3 o'clock today, and he told me not to come back to this property after 3 o'clock today. And it was a test of my flesh, and it was like I was ready. I mean, honestly, I was ready to just, my flesh just wanted to take his head off, and, you know, because I don't know who his Lord is. And so I ended up, I just walked away. I just died to self. I just walked away, and I went into the house, and I got out my word, my Bible, and I said, Lord, if you want me to rebuke him, you need to give me a word about a rebuke, and or if you need, you know, you need to show me who his Lord is. If it's you, then give me a word about you, but I need to know what to do in this situation, you know, because I just, I did not see the fruit there. I did not see Christ there. And if you want me to rebuke him, give me a word about a rebuke, and I'm going to go rebuke this guy. And so I just opened up the word and put my finger down, and I put my finger down on a word that says, I will take care of my rebellious people, you know, and the whole word was like, you know, the Lord was just telling me, just chill out. I got your back, you know, just get into the rest. I was like, okay, Lord, okay. But which was awesome. So that was kind of a little bit of a trial. And then the Lord just gave me just an awesome word. And I was like, all right, so I'm just going to let this go. And I just let it go. And we ended up, you know, we just came down to the wire. I mean, I ended up, got my niece and nephew came over, and they pulled the staples for us, and then we were able to mop the floors and stuff like that. And bottom line is I ran up to get everybody lunch, and the realtor with the prospective buyer showed up, and they came in, and Brandy was kind of listening to them and stuff like that, and they were just amazed at how the house looked compared to what it was, and you know, they were just really impressed. And then my realtor came in, you know, he was running a little bit late, you know, he came in, and you know, I finally got there, and he walked through, and he said, I just can't believe what you guys did to this place. So we kind of did a walkthrough, and the bottom line was that the prospective buyer just said, yeah, I want the place. So I ended up getting a call about an hour ago from the realtor and said that, you know, he's gonna fund the deal. And he said he checked out the prospective buyer, and so it looks like it's a done deal, you know, as far as with the sales. So I just want to give the Lord, you know, the credit on that, you know, the praise on that, because, you know, he was the one that told me to hire this realtor, you know, over a year ago. And, you know, the guy was just, you know, he's just, I was asking him, should I hire a Christian realtor? Or I was just kind of, you know, throwing, you know, asking for words and stuff like that. And he just confirmed that I was supposed to hire this guy. And he's very worldly. He's very arrogant. You know, he knows what he's doing. But the bottom line is, at the very last minute, he decides that he's going to finance this guy. He's going to take the papers, and you know, because the banks, you know, weren't financing and stuff like that. And I just see that as the total Lord. You know, the Lord just blessing the whole situation. So I just give the Lord, you know, just the glory in this whole thing, and you know, that he told me that if I would be obedient, go up there and just, you know, go through the test and take care of the situation, that he would sell the house. And I mean, he sold it in, you know, just a matter of no time. So it was just awesome. So I just wanted to kind of share that and give God the glory. Amen.
Amen, Tim. I guess the lesson learned there, just be patient and wait on the Lord, huh?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. It was a trial. I mean, Brandy just came over, and I mean, we're still trying to recoup. When we drove back on Sunday, when I stopped at a rest area, I went to get out of the truck, and I could barely walk. My legs were all cramped up, and you know, I felt like I went a couple rounds with Mike Tyson or something. But I'd be the first day I took, like, yesterday I took like two naps, and today I ended up taking a nap. It was a grueling run, but we got everything done, and I mean the Lord just gave us strength, gave us energy. I mean it was great. We just did it for like 6 days straight. So, but it was awesome. So it looks like everything is sold, and I just give God the glory.
Praise God. Thank you, Lord. Just in time, too, huh? Thank you, Lord. Well, that's awesome. All right, anybody else got a testimony, praise report?
Yeah, Michael?
Hey, Judy, how you doing, girl?
Okay, I'm doing good. Well, after hearing Tim, I happened to think, I should be praying. I had this guy come out to take a tree down that's dead, and he didn't show up today. So I was praying that he would be safe as he took it down and stuff, but I guess maybe I should pray that he comes tomorrow, and that he is safe when he comes, and that he will come and do this, because his price was pretty good from what I've heard that it would cost to do that. So, I just want to thank the Lord that you brought this man to. His name is Adam, that you brought him here to take this tree down and let him be safe when he does that. And, Lord, let him come tomorrow to do this. Thank you, Father.
Amen. Amen. We believe, will you, Judy? That man going to show up with his chainsaw and an axe.
Yeah. Okay. Thank you.
Amen. Thank you, Lord. All right. Anybody else, a testimony or praise report or even need prayer? Well, okay. Last Thursday, we had Tim had Aaron talk about praise and worship, contemporary praise and worship music and the artists, and he got into it. And then he called Philip, and Philip came on and shared what he had. And tonight, I got another UBMer, Kevin Ray, who's also one of the musicians here. Talk about praise and worship, and how God would like for us to do that, and some other things, what's on his heart. Go ahead, Kevin.
Okay. Glad to be here. Well, bless everybody. Just wanted to basically touch base a little bit. Michael asked me to come on tonight, kind of give a little bit of my angle on what we've been discussing concerning music and Christian worship music and so forth. So let me just kind of go back a little bit and give you a little bit of my background. I started out music when I was real young. Probably a lot of you might have joined band when you were little in fourth grade, and I happened to learn how to play the trombone. That was my instrument that I was very interested in at a young age. And so I was into music when I was quite young, and played trombone through my middle school, high school years in symphonic concert, marching band, and different kinds of assemblies and so forth. And around my early teenage years, I got fascinated with the guitar in the 80s and picked up the guitar and started teaching myself the guitar and got fairly good at that, and decided to try out for the jazz band at the same high school I was going to. And so I made the jazz band. I was playing jazz guitar in a jazz band, basically music that we would read, basically prearranged stuff. So at that time, I was able to read music quite a bit. I've kind of lost that ability. But anyway, so my influences were really into jazz, and of course I got into the rock scene in the 80s and so forth, and was playing that kind of stuff. But when I became a Christian, the Lord had me drastically get rid of a lot of things, as I believe Aaron was talking about earlier. So I got rid of a lot of CDs, and kind of went into a hiatus for a while, and only kind of stuck with the old hymnal stuff. When Holly and I came into the kingdom, and we came together, matter of fact, at the same time, we received the Lord and repented and got saved. We were taken in under the wings of this guy that was been a Christian for most of his life. So he had a particular angle on music and was very keen on what to listen to, what not listen to. You know, just stick to the old hymnals and certain hymnals at that. So songs that you guys may have heard of, you know, the popular ones like "Victory in Jesus." That was the first song that we learned. And that was a wonderful song. Even to this day, we still sing that song. It's such an anointed song. So as we started growing through our walk, I just noticed that we would fellowship with different people that had different musical differences or musical tastes or whatever. And so that's how it kind of got exposed to the contemporary Christian music that was out there. And I noticed that in some cases, I was still pretty much staunch, strict in that particular I don't want to say a box, but that kind of limited palette, if you will, of music to listen to worship-wise. I noticed it causing some friction with another brother in particular who was trying to just say, hey, you know, there's more than just that kind of thing. And so I was still I have to admit I was kind of in a legalistic mode. And I think we've all of us, in some way, shape, or form, have gone through Galatia. We've gone through different levels of legalism and kind of come out and kind of gone back in different areas. And so I know that's a process. So he was trying to show me that the Lord was actually trying to show through him that there's more than just that, what you're listening to. So what the Lord was really trying to do with me was trying to strike then this is going to be the key word throughout the whole thing I'm sharing with you, and that's the word balance. A balance in His Word and His Holy Spirit. So I started, listening to some of what this other brother had, and it seemed okay. Some of it kind of reminded me, you know, some things I used to listen to back in the world. So there was a little struggle there, but I kind of found that there were certain tunes of like particular artists that were just really brought me a lot of peace. And what they did was they allowed me to really focus in on the Lord and worship Him. And so I started growing out of that, and the Lord really started showing me that it really comes down to balance. Then I went through another phase where, you know, I started doing some research into, you know, music and so forth and some of the things behind it. A lot of the things that Aaron had kind of talked about, touched base on, I did some research on that years ago. And so I looked into that, and I found out that, yeah, that some of those things are true, and we got to be quite careful. And what the Lord was trying to show me was that what's really important is the spirit behind the song. As Aaron touched on, I think he touched on the fact that some producers, it might have been Philip, a particular band, when they sign, I think Philip talked about this, that bands, when they sign contracts, they're legally obligated to present a certain kind of look and for a particular genre. And so you could have somebody that started out well in music that was just die hard for Jesus, and then slowly over time, you know, with these pressures, could be kind of skewed off that center, off that narrow path, if you will. And so what's going to come out of that possibly is not necessarily a clean fountain of living water, if you know what I mean. So I think that going back to what Aaron was talking about listening to the Spirit and listening to the Holy Spirit to guide and direct you, is really a key on this whole thing. So if you're going to examine music, I think that's the first thing, is to see where the Lord has you, because we're all at different places in our walk, right? And so somebody that's been walking with the Lord quite a bit, he might be fine-tuning more and more to work out any kind of leaven that might be in the music or what you're listening to, where somebody that's just kind of in the kingdom, he's, you know, obviously given more grace and flexibility for. But I think the bottom line is he wants a balance. He doesn't want us to get legalistic in a way, but then he doesn't want us to just go off and just fellowship with anything, if you will. So that's kind of the gist of what the Lord's been showing me. Another topic I know that Aaron mentioned, he was talking about those passion conferences with Chris Tomlin and so forth. I didn't know about Chris Tomlin at all. I didn't know who he was until we were in a home church meeting in Kentucky with some spirit-filled believers, and they were singing songs to the Lord, and a majority of these songs, I didn't know at the time, were Chris Tomlin songs. But what I saw there was one of the most amazing things of the Holy Spirit, move the Holy Spirit. Literally saw just these kids just worshiping the Lord. I saw the room just full of kind of like a mist, a smoke. I actually saw tongues of fire. I actually witnessed and saw that over certain people's heads. And it was an incredible move of the Holy Spirit. And they were just worshiping with their heart. So it wasn't really so much it was a Chris Tomlin song or anything like that. It was that they were, this song kind of put them in a position, looking upward towards the Lord. They were able to worship. And that's kind of how I've kind of, at least for me, where I'm at, discerned, I guess, particular music. And I'm still growing, of course, so I know the Lord's continually fine-tuned things, you know, like Philip was talking about the other night. So that's what I kind of look for, I guess, the anointing of the Lord, and also obviously the lyrics, too, typically have obviously quite a bit to do with that. If it's self-glorifying or stuff like that, it's probably, you know, it's probably something you really need to pray about. But so a lot of the songs that we're singing now in our fellowship here in Tennessee, I know we have Philip and I took them from Utah, but there's some, we got some new songs that we introduced in our local fellowship that are just really wonderful thing. They really move the folks, and we really get a blessed time on that. So about the Passion Conference, there's my understanding of it, and I did some research about a year ago on this, because at the time I was following Chris Tomlin a little bit more because I wanted to see what other music he had, and I looked into it, and my understanding, and it might have changed since then, so maybe Aaron and I can talk offline about this at some point, or Aaron can come on and clarify, but is that the main intent was to help educate youth to go out and be ambassadors for Christ, so basically to teach them about how to be Christians and go out and tell others. And so they're usually, typically adults aren't allowed to go to it unless they're kind of doorkeepers is what they call them. And the kids will go and they'll go and they'll worship. And obviously there's more than music, there's teaching. I'm not that familiar with what goes on teaching-wise. But from what I've seen, at least on some of the particular songs that I know about Chris Tomlin, those seemed like songs that we would typically sing. However, there's been some songs I did notice in the Passion Conference that were, they just seemed, I don't know, at least for me, quite worldly. So I think that's something you just kind of pray about, you know, going back to what Aaron talked about, pray about things and kind of see where the Lord leads you. I think if you have a pure heart about it and want to do what's right in the eyes of the Lord, he'll guide you and protect you. Very, very, very important right there. So he'll protect you. So listening to, you know, Chris Tomlin, I think you just got to pray about that. I'm very blessed by a lot of his songs, and when we're singing them in our way. We have our own way of playing and singing certain songs, even the Revelation song, which you know, has obviously been popularized by Carrie Job. I don't really necessarily like the way Carrie Job sings it. Nothing against her, but I like it the way we sing in our local fellowship. It really moves me, and it moves, I think, a lot of people in our fellowship. If I remember right, I think the Moses were visiting at a time when they were there. I think we sang that song. I think Gaynold had a vision. Maybe Gaynold can pop in and confirm that. I think she had a vision of the Lord when we were singing that song. So I would recommend, just obviously, and I know it's a obvious answer, is to go to the Lord and just and seek him about these kinds of things. And just at the end of the day, be in balance. And, you know, just be careful about what other people are listening to, and not to necessarily compare yourself among yourselves and things like this. So that's kind of what I wanted to share, Michael. I don't know if that kind of sums it up. Oh, another thing, actually. No, sorry, I forgot. One other thing I wanted to share. Back in, Phil kind of touched on this, I think. Phil's family, my family, my wife Holly, we used to live in Utah next to each other, so we did worship out in Utah. And Philip and I had a discussion, and we kind of felt a similar thing that was coming someday, and that's this anointing of music that's going to be on the scene at some point in the future, that is going to be incredibly wonderful to those in the spirit and quite annoying to those in the flesh. And I believe that's really close, I hope. I know we're all praying and believing for the latter rain, but I think this is going to bring an anointing of music where we're going to be worshiping the Lord in a spirit of truth that we've never had before. It's going to be an intimate spiritual worship the flesh is not going to like. It's probably going to divide some flesh away from folks, and actually maybe some people even, I'm not sure. But anyway, be praying about that, the Lord will bring that anointing on the music, because certainly worship and music is a very important part of how we enter in. So I wanted to just add that.
Amen. I got a question for you.
Yeah.
Yeah. Would you say, in a nutshell, in simple terms, that praise and worship is what brings you into the presence of the Lord?
Yeah, I would say that's one tool, for lack of a better word, Michael. Also, I think sometimes, for me, you know, just reading the Word of Truth, praying in tongues, you know, will bring that. But there's something special about music. Definitely something very special about music. Obviously, King David, you know, you talked about, I think, on the conference call, how it soothed Saul, how they worshiped, you know, remember Jericho, they all worshiped and blew the trumpets. There's something very powerful about music and its connection to the soul. And I think what the Lord's been showing Aaron is probably the intricacies of how sensitive that is to our soul, you know, which is very deep stuff, of course, but that's how we do enter in. That's one of the best ways to enter in. You know, praising the Lord, for instance, the trials, you know, that we all go through, one of the things the Lord really wants us to do is the number one, thank Him, because it's already done, right? And although that's difficult sometimes because we're not to walk by sight, but also that when we is to praise Him during those times. That sometimes that's some of the best times to praise Him is when we're in the mire or going through the tough battle or whatever, because that really it does something in the spirit to the enemy. It causes them to flee every which way.
Amen. Amen. Thank you, Lord. Well, you know, I think there has to be a in my just my little humble opinion, there has to be a balance between the law and, you know, what, and freedom. Freedom to express in your way your praises to the Lord. We want it to be a sweet smell to the Lord's nostrils. We want it to be pleasing to the Lord. You know, there are times, even in our fellowship, that there at times one song might spawn a praise and worship that is spiritual, very spiritual. People sing in the spirit, and it just goes on and on and on. And at other times, that song may not do that. But it seems to me like one song will do it one night, you know, and another song another night. But it always seems to me that the person, forgot what I was going to say. But anyway, you understand what I'm saying, Kevin?
Yeah, I do. Yeah, that's exactly what the Lord's been has told me over the years. It's a balance. It's about not being legalistic, but being free, but not free to, you know, to just, you know, go into a worship and music that's clearly not God, that's clearly not godly, you know. So it's, He wants, you know, all things are lawful, not all things are expedient. You know, I know we talked about that, and that was mentioned, and that's very true. We live by the Holy Spirit. I just noticed that when I was in that state where I wouldn't listen, I was in a very, I'll just say, a very legalistic mode. It kind of separated me from other brothers that were more mature and had that freedom that I didn't have, you know. And the Lord was trying to get me out of that, amongst other things, tithing, Sabbath, things like this, you know. So they really did free me up, and just trusted the Lord to be able to worship Him in spirit and truth. It's not so much that the Lord wants us to you know, worship with a pure heart. We not necessarily a perfect heart, but we have a pure heart, right? And so I think that's probably one of the most important things. what I've noticed too, you know, Philip and I have been playing together, let's see, since 06. So that's, what is that, 9 years? Oh my gosh. Wow, 9 years, you know, and we've gotten to kind of know each other playing guitar and stuff like that. So, I mean, that's been enjoyment too. And I don't, you probably noticed, Michael, and others at our local fellowship that, you know, sometimes we'll play some music and we'll continue to go on in the song, and then we'll end up playing a particular pattern or progression like that song, and then we'll break, somebody will break into tongues, and like Belinda or someone else, and we'll just start praising the Spirit for 20 plus minutes, right? Pretty amazing. Okay, so if you can imagine that, I think magnified by 100, I think that's what that this anointing of music is going to be like, because we're going to just, it's just going to be something that we've never heard before. And we should really be praying for that. I know we pray for a lot of things. We should pray for that, because that's going to be really entering in the throne room.
Amen. Praying for the anointing for the praises and the worship time that we have with the Lord. That's awesome. Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, and for another thing too, just popped in my mind too, was I think Aaron touched on this, and it's a very important thing. And you know what we have nowadays is we have the commercialization, right, of Christian, so-called Christian music. And I think if you all remember Keith Green, some of you may have heard of him.
Mm-hmm.
He was, I don't know if he was the first, but he was one of the most notable, I think, that wanted to give away his music free. It really bucked the system back in the day. I think it was the 70s, late 70s or something like that. But he was able to do that somewhat. He did do concerts for free and so forth, because he just felt freely as you receive, freely give. And of course, nowadays you don't see that. You see, you know, Christian artists out there that are signed usually with a record company, and they are kind of limited in what they're able to do. So they might not have a say in everything that goes on in the business wise, the venues, prices of tickets, things like that. And so I think we just got to be careful about how do I say this? Where Chris Tomlin or who somebody else's heart is at with respect to what we might see the industry doing with that artist. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
Okay.
Well, absolutely.
Because we just got to be careful, because we just don't necessarily know. So, but we judge by the Spirit, though, right? I mean, that's the bottom line. We judge by the Spirit. Let the Lord guide and direct us on what to listen to and what to enter in with. So, I think I know there's a person in our fellowship. She recently, the Lord told her to pick up the guitar back up again and to start playing. She wants to be able to put some guitar parts to her singing, to her songs. And so I think that's great. So if any of you out there, like I know Philip mentioned this, if you don't play an instrument or something like that, you know, you can always ask the Lord and learn. The guitar is a very good instrument to learn. It's very portable and so forth. The piano is a very, very good instrument as well. But just something that you could just kind of play around with and just kind of come up with your own songs to the Lord. You'll be amazed at what the Lord will do, you know. We've seen some amazing songs come from our sister Lakeisha, right?
Oh, so, yeah.
So, awesome. Yeah, it's a beautiful thing, you know. I think we're all musicians at heart, you know. We got Christ in us. And so he wants us to worship in the Spirit and truth, and so we can do that, and we can all help each other and get there.
Amen.
Any questions for anybody? Or
yeah, I got not a question. I just got a comment. I've been learning to play the organ from Pamela Orr is teaching me. I'm going very slow because I don't even know how to read music or anything. So, but I really enjoy it, and now I really think I'm supposed to do it. And also wanted to say, hey, that tree guy just came. Boy, is that an answer to prayer really fast.
Praise the Lord.
So praise the Lord. Just wanted to tell you that. Thank you, Father.
Amen. Amen.
Thank you, Lord.
Amen.
I got a little comment just to share. While we were working in Ohio, Brandy had his his MacBook, and he had like all the praise and worship songs we sing in the local assembly on that MacBook playing from other artists, and you know, whatever you found on YouTube or downloaded or wherever you got it. And it was really awesome to be just listening to praise and worship while we were working. And the next thing you know, I would just be singing those songs, and I just love it when, you know, you get that, you know, that praise song stuck in your head. You're just singing that thing. And even with like Lakeisha's songs and stuff like that, I'll get that, you know, she's, you know, there's an anointing there, and you just get that song stuck in your head, and you're just praising the Lord all day long. So it was kind of a neat experience, you know, listening to praise and worship, and then you just singing along and stuff like that. And you're worshiping while you're working, which I thought was kind of neat. And but then to show the differences, the very last day we were there, when this cleaning crew showed up, you know, Brandy had his music, and I think he moved upstairs or something like that. And one of the guys on this cleaning crew pulled out, you know, his phone and plugged it in the kitchen, and he started playing this rap music. And, you know, I had listened to rap years ago, and I just never cared for rap music, but I was listening to the words of this rap music, and it was so vulgar. It was so disgusting. I mean, every other word was the F word, and it was like just totally degrading women like dogs. And I mean, it was just the most disgusting. I just can't believe where that music has gone. And that's our youth that is listening to that garbage. And it was sickening to me. It was so degrading, you know, and, it was bad years ago, but now it is just evil, and it is just sick, and it's just, I just couldn't believe it. So I ended up just, you know, I was going to ask him to shut it off, so I ended up just praying, and I think he got a phone call or something like that, and he ended up, you know, the music wasn't back on, but I was just, you know, so, you know, we're singing praises to the Lord, and the world is feeding the youth this absolute garbage that is just undermining what the Lord is doing, undermining society, undermining women, just undermining, you know, just the whole structure as far as that. So I just kind of saw that at the same time. So I thought I would share that.
Yeah, the whole gangster rap thing. I wasn't really a big rap person back in the day either. I was more into the rock thing, but yeah, they've really taken that. And that's not, as you know, that's by design. You know, that's to denigrate and destroy whatever morals we had left in this country. You know, and to go after the youth with this whole gangster degrading women and so forth. And so you're seeing the fruit of what's happening out there with what's going on out there in the streets. And so it's sad. It's really sad. It's that's another thing we've got to realize and remember. This the music is a huge tool of Satan. That's one of his main weapons out there, and Hollywood is very very locked into that and very willing to even contractually sign folks up. A lot of those the big people out there in music, they literally have signed contracts with demons and so forth in the investigations that I've done about Hollywood. So yeah, it's definitely part of the plan to undermine God's word and his goodness. And
well, I think it's pretty awesome, Tim. I'll do the same thing. I'll plug in my little MP3 player while I'm outside working and listen to praise and worship music, and it really brings you into the presence of God, and you've got a smile on your face, and the day goes by faster, and you get more work done, seems like. So, yeah, I can attest to that. I really like that praise music while I'm working.
I was going to say, I even walk through, like, you know, when I'm out shopping in Walmart and stuff like that, I'm just singing to the Lord. You know, I don't care who's here, anything like that. I'm just singing praise songs to the Lord. It's awesome.
Another thing, I was just wanting to mention this, too. The Lord reminded me before the call, and now he just reminded me again. And Judy, as you're learning how to play the organ, praise the Lord, you know, you can worship the Lord in practice too. Let's give an example. Sometimes when I go and I practice guitar, I might put on a little backing track, which is just, you know, maybe a bass and some kind of organ music in the background. And I typically will practice just different things, you know, maybe scales or whatever else. And the Lord's had me recently just start to just listen to Him and try to listen to the music He wants to put in me, which is what I prayed for. And so He's just fulfilling that. And in doing that, I'm playing to this backing track, okay, which has no lyrics or anything like that. And I'm worshiping the Lord through my fingers, if that makes any sense. It's kind of neat. You know, I'm kind of growing in this some more. But you know, you can worship the Lord as you're practicing. You know, as you're doing that, you just kind of think about the Lord as you're playing and kind of express your thoughts and how you feel about Him, what He's done. You know, through the organ or whatever instrument you're playing or you're singing, of course.
Amen. You know, I've gotten up at 3 in the morning. Lord's awakened me at 3 in the morning many times. And I'll get up and pray in the Spirit, put on some praise and worship. And I try to keep a little quiet because I can't carry a tune in a wet bucket. But I like to sing God's praises a lot of times. And yeah, 3 o'clock in the morning, I'm allowed to be up here just praising God and hoping I'm not disturbing David. Of course, he's awake a lot of the times that I am anyway. So anyway, yeah, that's awesome. All right, anybody got any questions or any comments on what Kevin was talking about?
Brother Michael.
Hey.
I was just wondering, is it possible that we could have a copy of some of the songs you sing? Or Brother Philip was talking about scripture that they put to music. Is it possible that we may have, like, you put Belinda's songs on the web for us?
Kevin, are they already on there? I think Belinda's songs are already on there.
Well, Philip and I have had conversations about this. We need to do... we need to do a live recording of one of our worship times and put that up on the website. There's just as an example, I don't know who called, what her name was, but we've done that before. Matter of fact, we have recorded our worship when we were in Utah, and Holly, my wife and I still listen to that, you know, and it's really anointed, so it's definitely important request. I'll talk to Philip about that. Maybe we can bring in some equipment and do a recording of all of us worshiping. And then some of the other songs probably be a little more challenging, you know, if we were to just do different parts and record it. But Philip's an audio engineer, so he could definitely put something together, I would think. So I'll talk to him about that, Michael. Maybe we can do that. Okay. What do you think?
Well, yeah, I think it'd be a great idea. Is that what you're talking about, Nora?
Yes, please. Thank you very, very much.
Okay.
Thank you.
We'll
bless
you. Bless you,
thanks,
Nora. We'll look into doing that.
Thank you, brother. Bye.
Yeah, more than just one, too.
Boy, I can tell what I do.
What's that, Don?
Yes, I can give you... just practical experience that we've been doing for a few years with the different cars that we've had. We've been fortunate enough in most of our last cars that we've had where it wasn't too expensive, $150 to have an MP3 player put in that'll play MP3 discs. Because you can play about nine times the songs. In other words, nine albums rather than one album from the regular type of format. And that's been great for us. You put nine albums on one MP3 player CD, that lasts a while. And so we've been doing that. And so when we get into our car, the it automatically starts playing the praise and worship music. What I did is downloaded from the internet, from YouTube, about the first 60 albums from Integrity Music, Hosanna Music. That took a while to, and then using the software I have to fix them up. And then I've got about 20 albums from Maranatha. And we got other things, but I've always had the, for years, I've always liked the choir type music, because that goes back to when I was a child, listening to some music. It just seemed to me, especially in the secular world, the pop music, I never was much of a follower of it. But I liked the people that maybe took some of the popular songs and sang them in a choir, or others that, what I'm trying to say is it seemed like the top people in popular music from my day, and it seemed to me go into later on, say in the 50s on, it just seemed like a lot of the Christian musicians, I just sensed much the same thing, where they seemed, where money seemed to be, there's just a certain spirit that I didn't care for from, it seemed like the typical singer, individual singer. Elvis Presley just was a year older than me, and I never followed him. Some of his music I may have liked when a choir did it, or somebody else that would do it in a little different style. I just use that as an example. Actually, I grew up in the Frank Sinatra times, and I was never a follower of him either. Just something, well, personal opinion, I guess, for that style. But that's just been my prejudice, put it that way. I just like the choir type music. Generally, that's about, and you know, at times in the two choir types that I mentioned, Integrity Music and Maranatha, different individuals will sing, you know, a verse or something in it, and I appreciate that. You know, mostly, you know, they're all unknown singers. And I kind of like that. Though there are some people like, I've learned to like Chris Tomlin that Kevin talked about, and also his associate, Matt Redman. I appreciate that man. There's one song that we sing that is really anointed by him. So I like some of Chris Tomlin's songs too, and also I enjoy his singing.
And hey, also Red.
Yes.
Kevin, yeah, you brought up a good point. I think what's interesting is, like, about the Revelation song and the Tomlin songs, and maybe in some of the other ones there, even the Paul Baloche songs, is we kind of make them our own, you know, and in a way, I mean, we try to follow. Mm-hmm. There's the Chris Tomlin, there's the Paul Baloche, there's the Robin Mark, there's whatever, and then there's UP, our local fellowship version, which is my favorite, you know, because we're all there together, and we're worshiping together, and And I think that's how we approach that, like the Revelation song. I never heard that song until we introduced it into our lineup, you know, into our songbook. And we started playing. I was like, wow, this is an incredible song. And then I listened to Carrie sing it, and it just wasn't the same. You know, I really liked our version a little better, so.
Yeah, that Revelation song. I'll tell you another good one is a revival song by Robin Marks. That, man, that's an awesome song, too, I think.
Yeah, you know, just a statement about Robin Marks. I don't know if any of you are familiar with him. Maybe you are. He put out two albums that mainly we get our music from. One's called Revival in Belfast, and the other one's called Come Heal This Land. I remember the first time I heard that, I was on a road trip with Philip, and he said, hey, myself and Michael, another Michael was in the fellowship, and he put this album, put the CD on, and said, you got to listen to this. It's really anointed. And we started listening to it, and I just fell in love with it. It was just wonderful. You know, I couldn't stop listening to it. It's just awesome. Really, really a good anointing on it. Live album. So if you all haven't heard of that, Robin Mark, Belfast Revival is one you might want to look up. So it's not free. They do charge something for their music, but anyway.
Well, if you've got internet, you can go on YouTube and listen to it.
Yeah. You can sample it for yourself. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, no, they've got the whole album up there.
Yeah, there's all pretty much everything.
How much is there?
Pretty much everything's up on the YouTube.
Yeah. Absolutely. I'll tell you one that I used to listen to quite a lot and still do is Paul Wilbur. I know he's Messianic Jew. Or Messianic Christian, I should say. I don't know if he's Jewish or not, but all of his songs, it seems to be, most all of his songs are scripture-oriented. And he sings the scriptures, and he may not know it, but a lot of his songs are spiritual. I don't know where he is with the Lord as far as that goes. He seems to be someone that's in the Messianic Christian law stuff, but I'll tell you what, what I've learned is just listening to the words, is applying them spiritually speaking, and they talk to me.
Yeah, amen. Yeah, this is a song that Philip worked on out in Utah, just Galatians 2:20. You know, enough said right there, you know, and I've been crucified with Christ, no longer I live, but Christ liveth in me. And we just sing that, and that's just, you know, it's a simple tune. I mean, it's but you know, a lot of the incredible songs are pretty simple if you look at it, chord progression, keys, and things like this, and the lyrics are usually quite centered on the Lord and are very scriptural.
Yeah, and I believe what you said earlier, and Philip said as well, is that we're going to have songs given to us that the world won't like at all, or the worldly Christian won't even like. But the ones that are walking with Christ and doing everything that he wants them to do are really going to be blessed by it. I think you're right there. I really do. You know, like those songs Lakeisha sings during a pot blessing, last pot blessing over Tim. Man, that was, if that wasn't anointed, ain't nothing anointed.
Mm-hmm.
I'm telling you, it just, she was awesome in the way that she presented it, and it was just the time for her right then when she sang those songs.
Singing from a pure heart and beautiful.
Oh, yeah.
Beautiful.
Yeah.
Absolutely beautiful.
Yeah. And, of course, when y'all get in the like you were talking about earlier, we come out of a song and you just stay in that progression of music, and the people are praying in the spirit. It's just awesome. I mean, we're liable to go that away. At times, we've done it, for 45 minutes to an hour.
Right,
just
we have.
Praying in the spirit.
You know, another thing about that, too, glad you brought that up, is when we go into that mode, we're just kind of playing around a progression, Philip, Colin, and I, we're just kind of, we're also letting the kind of Lord kind of take us where he wants us to go with, you know, I might be playing the chord progression, and then Philip is playing a little lead, and then, you know, he'll switch off and play the chord progression, and then I'll go and play in a lead, and, you know, just kind of expressing what's in me, you know, it's worship, it's really, you know, and Colin will do something else, and I think we've gotten feedback from people in the fellowship that they really like that, and that's, I think that's kind of what it might be like, that anointing comes. It won't be something. It'll be like the, you know, as the Holy Spirit, you know, as Jesus was telling Nicodemus, you know, as the wind bloweth, so the Holy Spirit goes. That might be how we go, you know, but we're all in the Spirit. We're in unison, and we're worshiping the Lord. We're kind of giving ourselves, our whole bodies, as instruments of worship to Him, right? And yeah, beautiful stuff, definitely.
Yeah, that's the times when, you know, the ones that are singing in the Spirit, it seems to me that we come closer together in the heart, in the Spirit, and we're in one accord. We're becoming that body of Christ that is coming into that one accord. And I remember what the Lord told me 4 years ago over to the boarding house. He told me we had a fellowship over there one night, and we just did Humble Thyself, and that song took us right into the Spirit, and we did that for, I don't know, an hour or so, and I think that was the one that we recorded Thanksgiving of 2011, and the Lord told me while we were after that, he said, when my people come into one accord is when the anointing will fall. Mm. And he was talking about our local here and the UBM outreach. And I'm sure it's going to happen all over the world. Well, I know it will. That's what the Lord said. And so we're coming closer and closer and closer as we lose self and we lose world, love of the world. That's when we come into one accord with Christ and each other, because that's the Christ in us that's coming together. So praise be to God. And I believe the music's going to bring us into that in a lot of ways.
You know, Michael, I think we took a step closer to that target last night. I felt
last night
was pretty incredible.
Oh, man.
It was beautiful. I mean, we worshiped. I felt more in one accord with our local fellowship than I have probably prior. It's just something quite different about last night.
Well, last night was awesome. We saw people set free from bondages that they'd had and been toying with for, you know, most of their life. Gosh, it was just, saw the joy of the Lord. God answering prayers. It was just awesome. We had an awesome time last night, you know, in the Lord, on our Monday night prayer service over at Jeff and Sandy's. It was just awesome time.
So let's expect more of that. Be expecting
absolutely.
Praying and thank you, Lord, for thank you. Let's pray, Michael. Let's pray. Let's ask the Lord. Lord, Father God, in Jesus' name, Lord, you know how important worship is. It's very important to you, Father. And we want to enter, and we want to worship you in spirit and truth, like you told the woman at the well, Lord. And we want to worship you in pureness of heart, Lord. We were still a work in progress, but we can have a pure heart in the truth and the Word of God, Lord. And we want to worship you in spirit and truth, Lord. We ask for that anointing. We ask for that incredible anointing and gift to be able to worship you in our local fellowships, to worship you as we're listening to music that you've led us to listen to, so that we could draw closer to you. Because in worship, a lot of things happen. A lot of people get deliverances, we get healings, we get all kinds of things can happen during a worship, Lord, that we're just one with you, Lord. That's what we want to be. As you said, Lord Jesus, that you told the Father that you prayed that we would be one as you are one. We pray that, Lord, to be one with you in your spirit, Father, in the truth. Help us get there, Lord, through worship and other means, Lord. Amen.
Amen. I agree, and I just took my faith up with Kevin that that's going to be a done deal. Everybody believe that, don't they?
Amen.
Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Father.
You know, our last yep. pop blessing too, Michael, we at Tim's, Tim and Trisha's at the sound system we were testing out was really good too, because we were able to kind of mic up Robin for the first time on her violin. That was awesome.
Oh, yeah.
And it sounded really good, I guess, you know.
Absolutely, yes.
Praise the Lord.
And then when Lakeisha came out there to sing, you know, she doesn't have that blasting voice that some singers have. She has a quiet voice, which is her way of singing, you know, and she does an excellent job with it. But y'all were able to amplify her out there to where, man, the quality of her singing and her the songs that she sang was just amplified that much more. And it really brought the anointing of the Holy Spirit upon the whole group, I believe.
Yeah, I guess the feedback I was getting was that that everything was balanced out really well. The guitars,
it was, yes.
Vocals. Of course, we had Colin playing bass again, which, well, we need a bass player. And, you know, so everything was balanced out and the PA system sounded great. You know, it was, we were testing out for the first time and trying to get the thing to run. And, you know, so it all worked out. The Lord got it all worked out. It was a real blessing, to see Lakeisha up there.
Hey,
you know, with her gift.
Hey, you guys, you know, what I like was, when Lakeisha first started playing those songs, I mean, I know that she's only picked up that guitar since she's been here. She's never played guitar before. She was just, you know, poking out some stuff. And now you guys just back her up, and it's like you guys have always been playing together forever. I mean, there was no music to it. Now the music, when you guys just fill in, and it's like it's all been written out perfect. So I think it's just really cool, the whole balance that's come about.
Yeah, you know, that's that. That's the we would call that improvisation in music, but it's really improv in the Holy Spirit. Because, yeah, it's just beautiful. It's everything was flowing then. You know, everything was flowing in unison. Because like Michael said, you know, we're in one accord, where everything kind of flows out.
Amen. I did want to mention Don is our keyboard player in the band, our worship band, and I just wonder if you didn't know who he was. He plays the keyboard, and he does an excellent job with it.
Oh, amen. Definitely. I always enjoy playing right next to Don. Right, Don?
Say, it's a blessing to play next to you. I appreciate that.
Well, Don, we have a good time together.
Praise
God. Yes, we do. Yep.
You know, I'd like to ask any of the people in the fellowship here if they have any questions about praise and worship or anything that you'd like to ask Kevin or Don or myself or Tim or any of us as far as that goes, or comments.
Is Aaron on the line? Is Aaron on the conference?
No, I don't see him on here.
No?
He's not on.
Okay.
That I can tell anyway. Malcolm is.
Hey, Doc.
I'm here.
Hey, brother. How you doing, brother Malcolm?
Hey, fine, thank you. Yeah, I was just thinking while you were talking about, you know, amplifying instruments. I remember when I was working with some folks in a choral group, and the choral leader made a big distinction between PA, which is, you know, public address, and sound reinforcement.
Yeah.
In other words, blasting versus something that's meaningful. He said, loud
yeah.
is not meaningful.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, we got a what's called a passport, a Fender passport, which is a portable PA system. And it's amazing what these little two speakers can do. I'm quite amazed. It's a 10-channel, it's got a 10-channel mixer, and we can plug all kinds of things into it, from anything from XLR connectors to quarter-inch jacks. So it gives us a lot of flexibility to do a lot with the instruments we have. So it's been a blessing.
Oh,
well,
I think you don't have any. You don't have any 30-inch subwoofers or anything?
No. No 30-inch subwoofers, no, no. Although David wants, David wants to add some more speakers, so we can reach the whole valley. But
Stone Valley, huh?
Everybody wear earplugs.
Well, you remember David? He's like, okay, hey Kevin, Phil or Kevin, turn it up, and he walked to the other end of the yard, Tim and Trisha's yard. Just to kind of see how far it would go, and then we had a discussion about, is there any way we could plug up some more speakers to it?
Well, I think what he was alluding to, though, was when the people start pouring in here, you know, and we have a large crowd, you know, but I think we'll have access to all the equipment we need at that point.
Oh, yeah, we will have more than those speakers we have now, definitely. Yeah, that dream I had, Michael. I had that dream. We had a real PA system that was massive, and we had a ton of people.
Yeah, kind of like they do when they have a concert in the outdoors. You know, some of those places, and they got them great big speakers and all that sound equipment that just lines the stage. You know.
Yeah, this was the dream I had. It was bigger than, it was like a Woodstock. It was bigger than Woodstock.
Oh my, praise God.
It was amazing. People were just eager to see what the Lord was going to do and just worship the Lord.
Amen.
Bigger than life and twice as natural.
Yeah. It was a real rock concert on the Rock of Jesus, that is. So.
Amen. Amen.
Something I wanted to, I already ran this by Chad, and I don't know if he shared it with Aaron or not, but was the three dreams from that James Ryle had. I think he's from New Zealand. Yeah, he's from New Zealand. But he had three dreams that he entitled The Sons of Thunder, and some of you may have already heard this, but it certainly sounds like the Lord is going to bring in a new music, and I don't think his dreams have been fulfilled yet, but let me just read one little sentence that the Lord said to him. He said, I'm about to release a new kind of song in the streets. It'll bring a revelation of the truth, and it'll usher men into my presence. So, but anyway, there's
what's
a website
name,
I can share
Malcolm?
If you want.
Yeah, what's his name?
James Ryle. It's a fascinating series of dreams.
Spell it last name, Malcolm.
Ryle is spelled R Y L E. R Y L E. James Ryle.
Okay, and that's his prophecy?
No, it's just three dreams that he had back in 1990.
Oh, dreams. Okay.
1990. Let's see, 1990 or 93? No, it was 1990, August of 1990.
Sons of Thunder prophecy, is that right? I'm just looking it up.
Right.
Okay.
So, if you want, I can give the URL. There's a short one I found. There's several URLs out there for it.
Yeah, throw it up.
Awesome.
Yeah, it's hispraise.com/morningstar/sonsof.htm. Sonsof.htm. There's no thunder, just sons of. For that particular URL. Anyway, it's Andrew Strom was the first one that turned me on to that. He spent quite a bit of time talking about, you know, the new music, and he and his wife tried different things, different styles, and nothing worked. And he just felt like it was, you know, it was for a future time because he had no idea what it was about. So.
This might be the same thing that Philip and I were discussing. I'm not sure. I don't know if this guy doesn't sound familiar, but who knows? Maybe the Lord's just telling different people, yeah, this is coming.
Yeah, I'm sure. I've been really frustrated because of my background, which is Baroque, classical, Renaissance, and, you know, playing the cello. And it's a lot of my piano, early piano years was Bach, you know, really structured. You can't use your pedal because, you know, a lot of Bach stuff is for the harpsichord. So,
mm-hmm.
So anyway, when and for me, because of my background and playing in orchestras, I actually, once I got to the point where I was playing orchestras, I was pretty bad. I wasn't practicing, so I was always third cello at the back of the row. And I, one technique I learned was to, if I couldn't play a bunch of notes, that I would look like I was playing, but I wouldn't touch my bow to the string. And I hoped, you know, occasionally I would screw up and, you know, folks would notice. But
so did you play in symphonic? I played trombone in symphonic. Did you play symphonic band? So,
well, in Singapore we had a band and I couldn't get above all the brass. It wasn't, you know, it was just, I was the only string instrument in the entire.
Oh, gosh. Hard,
you know,
yeah, the brass was real loud.
Yeah. I was sitting next to the tuba guy and the one doing the baritone. So, but I was having fun.
Yeah, I miss those days of playing the trombone. Matter of fact, Don and I were talking about, he keeps getting on me to get a trombone so we can add that to the mix. Can you imagine that, Michael, Tim? Playing the trombone or worship?
Absolutely. Could I, Michael, do you mind if I share a little bit about music, my background and stuff?
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah, the music that I kind of grew up with was, in fact, my parents have a picture of me standing in front of the record player. My parents gave me free access to the record player at a ridiculously young age, and I really scratched up all of our records. And it was a lot of stuff like, I don't know, the symphonies. Not so much Mozart, not so much the Baroque stuff. I was listening to a lot of symphonies. Like, some stuff was César Franck. The picture that I have is me singing Symphony in D minor, you know, along with Symphony in D minor at the top of my lungs. I don't know if you can imagine that. I was probably, I don't know, 3-4 years old. But I really got into that, you know, that stuff as a kid. And, you know, Schumann and Schubert who's the other guy that I... Oh, Brahms. Brahms was really... I really loved him, Beethoven. But as we got older, we ended up moving from Maine out to Nepal, and my dad took a cello because he wanted to learn the cello, not realizing that when you're a missionary overseas in a doctor's situation, you know, in a medical situation, he had zero time for any extracurricular or actually any family life or anything. He was just always the only doctor at this one, you know, 32-bed hospital, and everything was seemed like it was all... At the hospital, it was all end stage because people didn't really trust Christians or missionaries or anything like that. So they'd wait till the last minute and then, you know, come in and die at the hospital. Anyway, but he never had a chance to get into the cello, and so we ended up with a really good former opera singer in Nepal. You can imagine, especially in the 60s, it was pretty hard to find anybody that was, you know, affluent in strings. But anyway, she kind of helped all of us, the three of us kids, gave us lessons each. And then we would have, you know, our string quart trio stuff that she would spend another hour with us on. So that was pretty rigorous. But anyway, once I got to high school in Singapore, I really dropped back on the cello and I was starting more on the piano. And I didn't like piano earlier because of a piano teacher I had in Nepal. That was a little bit condemning, so I'm sure people have been down that road. But anyway, when I got to the States later, started going to college, they had the most incredible choral group in the college. It was a ostensibly Christian college, you know, but they had an incredible pipe organ, which is an amazing organ, and the organist was phenomenal. And they had choral groups that were absolutely phenomenal and good choral directors. And some of that stuff would just bring tears to your eyes. It's just, you know, and, you know, and, you know, I was you know, later when I got involved in a choral group down in Portland, Oregon, we would joke about how our music was high mass, high mass music, even though we were thoroughly Protestant. But you know, whereas other churches were getting into more popular stuff and you know, bringing the drums in and the guitars, which a lot of circles was like, what, a guitar in church? Are you kidding? That's fake from the devil. So anyway, so but in on while that was going on, I was involved in this choral group. I was getting more and more involved in jazz, listening to jazz and playing some on the piano. And but I would make a real distinction between anything, any religious, you know, music or music that would be praising God. I didn't want to see anything from the jazz world coming over into the religious, you know, situation. So anyway, in 2006, I've already talked about this, but I ended up starting to pray. Goodness, it was like many hours, at least an hour or sometimes more. And I was so wanting to be in the Lord's presence because of my praying. I'd get to work, and I typically had stuff like Yellow Jackets and this is just some of the jazz stuff, people, you know, Flemming the BBs and Al Jarreau and, you know, different types of jazz that's not too far out there. But when I got to work after praying like this, I didn't want to hear any of that. I didn't want anything contaminating my mind. I would just not have any music at all. And occasionally I'd start getting some high mass type music going. I'd listen to some choral stuff that was pretty cool. Certain songs, not all of them. But I was super picky for a while there, and I didn't want to break that, I don't want to say spell, but just that awe before the Lord. So anyway, it was a little bit after 2007 that I was baptized in the Holy Spirit, and it was after that I started realizing that I was really born to be a hardcore worshiper. And everything changed, but the people I was worshiping with were you know, it was the heavy beat. It was almost a rock type or popular type music, and there was none of that high mass stuff. It was just a you know, kind of, some of it was kind of in your face, totally worldly to me. And I remember I went to this one vineyard church, and that was the first time I went to ask for the baptism of the Holy Spirit and ask them to pray for me, which was kind of hard. But the music, it was hard because I had never stepped out of my own denominational circle, certainly not to ask people to pray for me. But the music, I was so upset about the music in there. I said, Lord, I can't handle this. Is this something I have to put up with if I'm going to receive the baptism of the Holy Spirit? Do I have to listen to this kind of music? I was just in total turmoil because I thought it was a total disconnect between seeking the Lord and the music. And you know, they prayed for me and nothing happened at the time. But I was anyway. So, but it was after that I started. I just had this freedom in worshiping, and I found I could worship with some of this music that I had disdained before, and I hope I'm not coming across as a, you know, a lot of the people that have a classical background or, you know, it's kind of associated with a snobbiness and aloofness and pride, and I hope that's not coming across for me, because I've been there myself. I've had the pride, you know, from performing and charging the big bucks and that kind of thing. So the Lord's really had to work with me, and I don't want any of that in me. So if you're sensing that, please pray. So, but anyway, I just I found I could worship the Lord with some of this music, and when they would play songs that were, you know, setting me back, I'd still wave my flags back and forth, and, you know, and I was just feeling like, you know, let's go to the next piece, please, quick. But anyway, and then after I was forced to leave the fellowship because of the Kundalini stuff they were bringing in, I didn't have any fellowship with anybody. And then I discovered stuff like Handel's Messiah. I could lift my hands to the Lord during that and be in total worship mode with some of that music because it's straight scripture, you know. And then also some other, I've had these dreams of the first symphony of Brahms, which is, he spent, I think, 17 years before he actually released that. But sometimes I'll be dreaming and it'll be this perfect situation and this music will come in, a little part of that symphony. Absolutely gorgeous, perfectly done and everything. And in the dream, I'm just standing there crying my eyes out because it's so beautiful. And then I'll wake up and I'll start crying for real because it just is, it really, and there's, I just think there's a lot out there that God's people can worship to. But we have to be careful. Like, for instance, Symphony in D Minor by César Franck, it's kind of a heartbreaky, it's kind of like a sad movie type of soundtrack. But I found I can't listen to that too much because I feel like, even though Jesus was a man of sorrows, I don't think he lived there. He was acquainted with grief, but I don't think he just, sat on the grief thing all the time. So I think you have to be careful with a lot of, stuff that's not necessarily religious, but say it's, symphonic or, I think you just have to be led by the Spirit.
Amen. Brother Malcolm, can I ask you a question?
Yeah.
So is this, let me get this correct. So you kind of, when you came into the worship side of it, well, before then, you were kind of really, you wanted to be very careful to kind of stay away from the symphonic, the classical stuff. But then the Lord kind of started freeing you up a little bit more. Is that correct?
No. I wanted to stay away from the jazz.
Okay, yeah. Okay.
Yeah, and I wasn't, I didn't have many CDs of classical at that point because my parents had quite a collection, and once I left home, I didn't have that, but I had it in the back of my mind. So I've gotten some more, some of those CDs since then. But the jazz, if you've heard me playing, sometimes I can stick some pretty thick chords, and progressions in, in either a praise piece or a hymn or something. And I'm just praying the Lord will purify me and, that I, and I don't want to get legalistic about it, but I don't want to be bringing any glory to the devil or harming the kingdom, because of my own stuff I haven't worked out with the Lord yet. So, you know what I mean? Because, with chords, you can get into a sequence, kind of a jam, it's like a groove. You can get into a series of progressions that can really turn people on, and you'll hear this sometimes either in rock or in jazz or in different, or even a lot of Christian music. But if somebody's trying to manipulate somebody else by playing that way, I think, then you're starting to get in the flesh and it could actually be hypnotic.
Definitely.
Anyway,
Yeah, if you're playing whatever progression that kind of maybe
a seventh and a suspension and then a back to a seventh and a back to a suspension or you do a three or four chords that are at sevenths and, some of that's within reason, but you can get into something where it's actually hypnotic.
Well, and I think also if you play a progression that reminds folks of maybe some music they used to listen to, right?
Yeah.
And sevens in and of themselves, minor sevens are beautiful chords. I mean, there's a little tension there because you want to get back to the root note, but
right. You're trying to resolve it.
Trying to resolve, but in and of themselves, they do have some, especially the minor sevens. Some of the minor sevens are really beautiful, but I think any kind of progression that will will remind folks of something that, you know, they're trying to get away from. You know, it's kind of dangerous, yeah.
Yeah, there is, for instance, there's a Beatles song. I love the progressions, but the words are so lousy, I don't, you know, especially publicly if I'm playing for a reception or something. You know, if you play something like that, the words go through your mind. It's like, ooh, that's not pure. So anyway, I just, you know, one thing, Kevin and the others listening, I really have been praying that God will clean up his, you know, the music of his people. And only God can do this because there's so many stylistic differences and there's a little bit of prejudice between some groups. And but I think once people are baptized in the Holy Spirit, they're already in worship mode anyway. And I think that it'll help as God's Spirit is poured out more, that the music will become purified. I just am longing for that. And I am looking for some really big productions. You know, I don't know if God will let us people get together in big groups where you can have a really serious orchestra and the whole shebang, you know, going. But anyway.
So, Malcolm, you said the dream you had, you said it was sort of like a symphonic type of music. Was that?
I think I've identified it since that. It's been different pieces. One was Chopin. It was a piano solo. In that one, I was somebody. There's a concert pianist with a very good piano in kind of a sitting room, and I was somewhere else working on something. But there were a lot of people there just sitting casually around. This concert pianist was going through the Chopin piece, and I started moving over toward the piano because it was just absolutely gorgeous, and this is in the dream now. And I got next to the piano, and it was so beautiful. I broke out in front of everybody, just started crying, you know, because it was so. Even when I hear the piece now, I'll start getting teary eyed. But I think the Lord has a lot of music out there. It's just I don't think we want to hang our hat too solidly on any one peg.
Right.
But the other dream I was talking about was I've had tons of music dreams, but the other one was like you had asked was that was Symphony No. 1 by Brahms, the fourth movement. There's absolutely gorgeous horn. The theme is built up, and then the horns come in and come out with this major theme, and it's just a tearjerker, you know. Anyway,
right.
French horn. I mean, you don't want to tell a guy playing horn that he's playing French horn because you get offended. But
hey, Malcolm.
Most people call them French horns.
Hey, Malcolm.
Sir.
Malcolm.
Yes.
Yeah, this is Michael.
I hear it.
Would you find that Chopin piece being played in Nashville?
I probably by concert, you know, pianist. It's absolutely gorgeous, but it's a serious. I mean, you've got a. I forget the name of it, but the guy, whoever's playing it, has got to be on top of their game because it's very challenging.
Well, okay. All right. Does anybody have any questions to any of the musicians that have been talking tonight about praise and worship?
Yeah, I was wondering if you guys have looked into using different frequencies that you're tuned to instead of like 440. Have you considered 444? I mean, there's people out there that say there's, you know, certain frequencies are more spiritual.
Yes, we have.
Actually, that's a question I have. Maybe somebody could chime in on this. I've read that some frequencies are demonic. my tuning fork is 440, so, and I've heard that 440 is like a, you know, an evil, a very evil intent spread throughout the world. You know, go ahead.
Yeah, Malcolm, and I don't know who chimed in. I can answer that question a little bit. We've Phil came across some research he did, and he could probably address it more than I could. But there was a period of time where we were tuning down to 432. Apparently, that used to be a frequency that was used back, I think, in the 1800s or something. And it wasn't until recently that, you know, standard tuning has landed on 440. So I don't know enough about that subject area really to speak to it, but we have tuned down. So sometimes we'll be at 440, sometimes we'll be at 432. So I don't know if it has a, for sure if it has like a, I can't tell necessarily if it's that much different. I know when we're doing 432, I thought maybe there was something different, but, you know, sometimes when I'm just playing the guitar at 440, I'm just into the Lord, so I might not be as sensitive to that, but, yeah, we do, to answer your question, yes, we do tune down to 432 sometimes.
That means you'd probably have to have a pretty full-time piano tuner.
Well, we have Don, and Don's amazing. And what he's playing an electronic keyboard right now, so he's able to.
Oh yeah, you can turn that down.
Yeah.
If you have a regular, say you have a grand piano, you'd have to take quite a bit of time to put that down.
Yeah, and Robin, she plays violin, so she just tunes down her A, and then he tunes the rest of her strings accordingly.
To a layman, okay. To a layman, what does that mean? Because to me, I can't tell the difference between 432 and 825.
You know? I know it's only 8 hertz, but there's research out there on the internet, I'm sure, and Philip could probably speak to it. He's done more research where, if in layman terms, they used to use 432 hertz was what resonates. The research, I guess, claims it resonates better with the human body and the spirit and how they used to worship. And they so-called, I guess, I could be butchering this whole thing, but so-called Illuminati, I think, or somebody who wanted to pervert it, kicked it up to 440. And there's apparently possibly more tension at that frequency standard than 432. So it's not as... not as the right word I'm looking for.
Doesn't grate on your nerves as bad?
Yeah, less harmony, more tension, more... I can't remember what Philip said. Let's get Philip on to talk about that some more if y'all wanted, if y'all interested in that. Or who asked the question, by the way, originally? Who was that?
Stan.
Stan. Stan Patton. How you doing, brother?
Pretty good.
Yeah, I put you in contact with Philip, Stan, because he's done more research on that. But we have tuned down to 432, and that's the layman terms, Michael. That's kind of it. It's kind of less harmonious, apparently, according to this research, at 440 than 432.
What about somebody that doesn't sing in any of that?
What you're saying, it doesn't matter.
Just saying. Matter.
Yeah.
But by the way, 440 hertz, that's 440 cycles per second, if you look at it like a sine wave.
I know what that is.
And that's the A below middle C. So a lot of stringed instruments will tune to A, or an orchestra typically tunes to A, but then the horns will use a B-flat, or it just depends on what kind of horn it is.
Right, B-flat for the bass clef, yeah.
Yeah, yeah, so just a lot of... It's just a term used for mostly orchestras probably used 440.
Okay.
It's so ingrained in me, I can hear it because I played strings so much, and I could hear an A. Even if my cello was out of tune, I could still play. I could correct it with my fingers.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, kind of bend up. Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
Does that answer your question, Michael, a little bit?
Yeah, that answered it. I am thoroughly skilled in the knowledge of 440 and 432 now.
Well, I'll tell you what. I've heard you sing, and when we were in 432 and when we were in 440, you still sounded great.
Yeah. didn't make a bit of difference, did it?
hey, Michael, it's just like a 3.5 megahertz, you know, at the 80 meter band, but you just drop your 3.5 megahertz and bring it all the way down to 440. It's just it doesn't go very far unless you really crank up your audio now.
Yeah, I understand. Okay, well, listen, let me touch on one other subject right quick. We're running out of time here. I did want to tell everybody that looks like Greece is going to default on paying back the EU, and of course they will. They don't have any money, and they refuse to go by the EU standards and criteria that they have set up for them to stay in the EU. So it looks like when they come to a vote, I think it's tomorrow. No, wait a minute. I think it's the 5th. The 5th. I don't know how they got it past the 30th, but they did. They extended it out to the 5th. But it looks like that the vote is going to be negative. So looks like Greece is going to default. And y'all remember the prophecy by David Wilkerson when the Europe country collapsed. That 2 weeks after that, Brazil and Mexico would go, and then shortly thereafter, the U.S. So that looks to be where we are right now, and it looks like it's going to happen. So, you know, there are people lining up at the were lining up at the ATMs until Greece declared a 6-week holiday, bank holiday. Today, I believe it was, might have been yesterday, today or yesterday, I don't remember, I think it's today. And people can't get money anywhere in Greece. So it looks like we're coming down to the wire here. And I read an economical article briefly. I'll tell you this, that this guy is supposedly some kind of an expert on finances and that type of thing, that the U.S., as compared to Greece, Greece is is physically fit as compared to the debt that the U.S. is in. The U.S. just have better liars than Greece does about shuffling paper and stuff. And it looks like this thing is coming down. And I guess the reason that I'm saying this is don't wait like Greece did if you've got any money. I got my $2 out of the bank last week, so I don't have to worry about that anymore. But if you've got, you know, a considerable amount of cash in the bank somewhere, you know, you might think about trying to access it where you can have access to it. Okay, now, before we go tonight, I did want to ask if anybody has any prayer requests before we leave. Well, I want to pray for Michael Montana. He's down in Central America. I forget which country it is. Father, in the name of Jesus, Lord, I lift up Michael to you. Lord, I ask that you give him wisdom. I ask that you give him understanding. And also ask that you protect him, Lord, wherever he is. And give him the words to say that would change people's lives, Lord. The words that you would give him, Lord, that would change those people's lives, and that they would be many coming to the kingdom because of it. Many be blessed by the words that he has, Lord. Take him there and bring him back home safely, Father, and bless him while he's there, and bless the people around him in the name of Jesus. And we thank you for it. Amen. Anybody else?
Yeah, Michael.
Yes, Marlon.
During the conference call, Tracy called us and asked us if we would ask you to pray for her. She's been in bed all day with lower back, really bad pain.
Okay. Well, Father, we lift up Tracy to you, and we ask, Lord, that you give her bold faith to believe that when we pray, and we believe what we pray, that we shall have it. In the name of Jesus right now, we command that back pain to leave her. In Jesus' name, we command it to go right now in the name of Jesus. We command that back and that spine to line up with the Word of God. And we thank you, Father, that she is completely healed all the way up and down her back in Jesus' name. And any other kind of infirmity, the spirit of infirmity, we command you to go in Jesus' name. And we thank you, Lord, that she is healed and delivered in the name of Jesus. Amen. Y'all believe that? Amen. Amen. I do. Praise God.
Amen.
All right. Anyone else?
Yeah, this is Kevin. I'd like to just pass a message to Stan. Stan, I'd like to get in contact with you at some point. So if you could send your email to me, if you don't mind, just send it to kevin@ubm1.org. I'd like to talk to you more about music and guitars.
Okay.
Thanks.
Yeah, will do. And my son, Philip, is a lot more into guitars than I am. So,
Philip. Okay, might be Philip. Who's the one that builds them?
Philip.
Okay. I'm going to get in contact with him as well.
Okay. Will do.
Thanks.
Sure.
All right, anybody else? Well, Father, we just come to you tonight. We thank you, Lord, for a great time tonight in the fellowship. We thank you, Lord, for your anointing. And we thank you, Lord, for the knowledge that you've given these musicians to impart to us, Lord. And we praise you for that, Lord. Put it in each of our hearts, Lord, to get in the spirit to praise you, Lord, and to listen and to learn and to feel and to be led by your spirit, Lord. We thank you, Lord, that you're doing that to your musicians in your fellowships, Lord, all across this country and across the world, Lord. And that this new music that you're going to put on them, Lord, is coming forth even as we speak, Lord. I can tell a difference already from 4 years ago to now in the music that's being played in our local band, Lord. And we praise you for that. And we thank you, Lord, that they're being led by the spirit, Lord. And we praise you that tonight, if many people have been blessed, and we thank you, Lord, that tonight everybody's going to sleep a good night's sleep and be blessed and wake up in the morning refreshed with supernatural energy in Jesus' name. Good night, everybody, and God bless.